on agriculture and natural resources, and now we're going to open a public hearing on work session. Do we need some stuff on the council?
There he is.
Can we call him?
We can now.
Okay. A work session on 2288, Crazy Oregon Food Council. Paul Scott, there's been a lot of work done on this bill, and so even though we're in the work session, I think we want to get a little bit of a explanation of all the work that was done, and you should have some amendments for this one.
Yes.
I'll leave that to you.
Mr. Chair, committee members, you should have had delivered to your offices yesterday a copy of LC 2288-2, as well as a hand-engrossed version of that set of amendments.
It was just yesterday, yeah.
So, Mr. Chair, I don't know if you want me to run through the amendments.
Yeah, I think it would be nice to go through the amendments.
Let me grab one more first.
And while we're waiting, I just wanted to, and he may get to say a thing or two, but I want to commend Representative Clem for his hard work on this.
Thank you.
2288.
The other document that you should have in front of you is a table that provides a comparison between the original bill and the Dash 2 amendment. So I'll just run quickly through that, and please stop me if you have any questions. The first issue was where the Food Policy Council would be housed. The original bill put it in the Housing and Community Services. The Dash 2 amendment would place the council within the Department of Agriculture. The second major set of changes has to do with the membership of the council. The original bill would have had the governor appointing 16 members. The amendment has 15 members. And if you look through the hand-engrossed version of the amendment, you can see where the changes were made. For the most part, I think they are language changes, more specifically identifying what group or interest the member would represent. There was a deletion of one member, and that was the original sub L, the person representing an environmental organization. And then in addition, the Dash 2 amendment would have the Speaker appoint one member of the House and the Senate President appoint one member of the Senate to advise the Council. The next provision is the change in staff support. The original bill would have had staff support being provided by housing. The Dash 2 amendment has it being provided jointly by housing and the Department of Agriculture. Section 3 of the original bill directed the activities of the council. There were a number of language changes within that section that you can see in the Dash 2 hand-engrossed version. The purpose of the council is primarily to focus on linkages between food producers, consumers, and policymakers. There was the addition of language in a number of places to link what was previously language concerning nutritious and other words that would qualify the type of food that was being discussed. And instead, the amendment now references the USDA Dietary Guidelines for Americans as a reference point for those provisions. And then there are a few provisions that were not in the original bill that are in the Dash 2 amendment. First, there's language which prohibits the council from making recommendations regarding agricultural production or food processing practices. There is a requirement for an annual report to the legislature. There is a sunset provision, which would take effect on January 2nd, 2012. And then finally, there is a change to the effective date of the act. The original bill would have taken effect on January 1st, 2008. The Dash 2 amendment would be on July 1st, 2007.
So would you like to hear in our work session from anybody about process? We're in a work session, yes.
I have a question, and maybe Representative Clem, who chaired this work group, can answer it for us. As far as the transferring the support from the Housing and Community Services Department to Department of Ag, I'm assuming that the Department of Agriculture was there and participated in the work group. So as far as the impact on their budget?
As was Housing and Community Services. Mm-hmm. What would happen is I think the governor's budget called for 2.5 positions, and what we sort of talked about is taking one and a half of those positions and moving it with the responsibility for the food council, leaving one person also at housing. So that would be sufficient for Department of Ag in terms of managing the program. The other person will still be sort of helping with the Food Policy Council and providing that knowledge that only housing has about how to actually, you know, deal with people who are in those particularly challenging situations that would bring them in front of that agency. So they were fine with the combination.
And just follow up, Mr. Chair?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Make sure your cell phone's here.
That's me.
He's beeping. Question was regarding, are these existing FTE or are these proposed in the governor's budget?
Proposed. That's why this will go to Ways and Means.
Okay, so are we going to hear this now in the Department of Ag's budget? I guess so.
Ooh, that's good.
Okay, I can ask those questions down there. But that's fine. Thank you for that clarification.
Yes.
Thank you, Chair Roblin. I just maybe would like to hear some reassurance that we heard from everybody that raised an objection in the first hearing.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Some of them are in the audience.
Katie, come on up.
Yeah.
Thank you.
For the record, Katie Sass, Oregon Farm Bureau Federation, and thank you for the question, Representative Smith. We did participate in the work group. A lot of the concerns that we had with the original bill came from conversations that we had with other states that had food policy councils in them. We feel that the amendments that are presented in 2288 now give some focusing and narrowing to the broadness that was in the original bill and will hopefully ward off a lot of the concerns that we've heard that have happened in other states, and that this can really be a place to talk about and have a dialogue about food security issues, food delivery, and hopefully invigorating our agricultural community and food processing community.
Thank you. I'm Paulette Pyle with Oregonians for Food and Shelter, and Terry did the work on this. I only attended a couple of meetings, but I just visited with him. He's flying back from Chicago, and he said if the agreement is as it was when he left, we're okay with it. Katie says it is, and I want to say congratulations to everyone and thank Representative Clem for all his hard work, and we're ready to go forward.
Okay. Thank you both.
You bet.
Do you want a motion?
Any other questions? Yes, I would love a motion.
I'll make a motion that we move the -2 amendments to House Bill 2288.
That's right. Yes. Representative Smith has moved House Bill 2288.
Just the
-2. Yeah. So we're going to vote on the -2s. Any discussion? Okay. We'll have a roll call.
Representative
Vogler?
Yes.
Representative Clem?
Aye.
Representative Dinkfelder?
Aye.
Representative McPherson?
Aye.
Representative Maurer?
Excuse.
Representative Smith?
Aye.
Chair Roblin?
Aye. Having received the majority vote, actually unanimous vote, we... and now we'll have a motion on the amended bill.
And has that got a referral to it?
Yes.
Okay. I move House Bill 2288 as amended with a due pass recommendation that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Representative Smith has moved House Bill 2288 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Any discussion?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I would just like to thank again my colleague, Representative Clem, for leading. This was his first work group, wasn't it? And it's really nice that his first work group was successful. But I serve on the Oregon Hunger Relief Task Force, and this was a top priority for one of our top priorities. And I'm really pleased to see that we were able to work out an agreement. And I think it's really exciting because there's, I think, a lot of really great opportunities that can come out of this discussion with all the different stakeholders. And I just want to thank my colleague.
Thank you.
Representative?
Thank you, Chair. Well, I just, too, want to thank Representative Clem and the work group for all the hard work and everybody's put into this. It's, I think, time, and it's a good bill. So.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I will concur. When I heard the first parts of it and then I heard all the concerns, I thought, I'm not sure that we're going to get where we need to get with this bill. So it took a lot of hard work, and I'll also commend our administrator, who sat through that as well and worked with things and made sure that things happened as well. So Representative Clem and Mrs. Petrino, thank you very much for all the work. And all of those people who were involved in those meetings, I thank you. So with that, we'll have a roll call vote.
Representative Clem?
Aye.
Representative
Dinkfelder? Aye.
Representative McPherson?
Aye.
Representative Maurer, excused. Representative Smith?
Aye.
Representative Oakes?
Aye.
Chair Roblin?
Aye. Should this go? No, it has to go to the other one. So, it having passed, we'll send this on to Ways and Means. And thank you all. This is 2234. 2634.
Okay, so there's no step.
We're going to now open a public hearing on 2634. And we have, is it Dana Hartwig and Sue Woodbury?
Yeah.
Deanna.
Yeah.
But first we'll hear a short description from our administrator.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2634 appropriates $230,000 from the general fund to the Department of Human Services for the purposes of providing fresh Oregon-grown fruits, vegetables, and cut herbs from farmers markets and roadside stands to eligible low-income seniors under the Oregon Farm Direct Nutrition Program. And I also believe, Mr. Chair, that Representative Trump is going to be here to testify.
Oh, okay.
Do we want to wait maybe and do the work session first?
Yeah.
We could do that. Yeah. Representative Hunt is not here yet, is that correct?
Yeah, he's on his way.
Oh, yes. Oh. Okay, good.
He is on his way?
Yes.
Okay. Otherwise, we were going to do another work session and...
I love it when you look down at a bill and you're like, that's a pretty good idea, and then your name's at the top. Oh, good.
Yeah, I know.
Someone must have got me to sign on to this.
Just so the committee knows, this is another priority of the Hunger Relief Task Force.
I'm on there with him.
Yeah.
Good bill should pass.
We worked on this together last session, right?
Yes, we did. We worked on this.
So do you want to...
We do a lot of things.
Yeah.
What's the other one?
No comment.
We'll just wait a few moments. Okay. We'll stand in recess while we're waiting for Representative Hunt to get here. Let's get going. Come on up.
We've
been waiting for 2 days,
so... We have been waiting.
Ooh, be careful there.
We were ready.
So, as you testify, make sure that you introduce yourselves and all that, and then away we go. And however you want to start.
Yeah. Chair Roland, members of the committee, my name is Deanna Hartwig. I'm the administrator of the Office of Federal Resource and Financial Eligibility with Seniors and People with Disabilities, Department of Human Services. And I'm here to testify on behalf of the department on House Bill 2634. For about 9 years, Seniors and People with Disabilities, in partnership with Public Health and the Department of Agriculture, has been providing senior farmer market checks to low-income seniors. The funding for this program comes from a federal pilot project, which has become permanent as of this year. These checks allow low-income seniors to purchase fresh fruits and vegetables from local farm stands and markets in their community. As interest in this program has grown, we have been reducing the amount of each check to an individual in order to serve more low-income seniors. In 2006, we provided farmers markets checks of $26 to over 40,000 seniors. So a passage of this bill would allow us to increase that amount. So in addition to helping seniors purchase fruits and vegetables locally, it is also helping the local farmers and stands in terms of selling their produce to consumers. While the department supports the concept of this bill, it isn't in the governor's recommended budget, but I think you'll hear from others that it is a well-received and popular program amongst our senior population. If you have any questions, I'll do my best to answer them.
We'll wait for both of you, and then we'll ask it.
All right, great.
Chair Roblin and members of the committee, my name is Sue Woodbury. I'm the program manager for nutrition and health screening for women, infants, and children in the Office of Family Health, Department of Human Services, and I'm here to provide information on House Bill 2634. The department currently administers the Senior Farmer Market Nutrition Program. The focus of that program is to encourage seniors to purchase locally grown fresh fruits and vegetables. We provide coupons for low-income seniors to be used at local farmers markets and farm stands between June and October of each year. Part of this, Deanna has talked about, so I'm going to skip the value in there. Again, to serve all participants, we reduce. Last year, we went to a $26 benefit. That was a reduction from $40 in 2005. The intent of this bill is to increase funding up to 30 per participant. Low consumption of fruits and vegetables is attributed to increases in illness and chronic disease, including heart disease, stroke, and cancer. There's also documentation of low fruit and vegetable consumption by senior citizens in our country. The Senior Farm Direct Nutrition Program has been shown to improve consumption of seniors for fruits and vegetables. These dollars also go and help the farmers who have farm stands or operate at farmers markets in the community. That money goes back into their community and into the local economic development. Farmers report to us that they enjoy participating in the farmers market, that it's a benefit to them, and 90% of them would recommend participating in the program to fellow farmers. While the department supports the concept of this bill, it's not in the governor's recommended budget. Again, the Interest Public Health Division, Office of Family Health staff, and myself are happy to answer any questions you have.
So, any questions for these two?
It's not in the budget, right?
It's not in the budget.
Twice.
Representative Glenn.
So, if I understand it right, we do have some of this going on already, and the benefit has reduced, actually, just in the last couple years, from $40 down to $26, and then we go back up to this amount of money buys us 30, or are there other federal funds coming back in to get to 30, or is it just really this money?
It would be this money that would buy us 30, and the decrease in value of the benefit happened because we expanded the participation. In the past, we mailed information to seniors. If they were interested, they returned a postcard, and on a first-come, first-served basis, we served people until the funds were used up. Last year, we decided to serve all eligible, and so the benefit had to be reduced to take care of that.
Okay. So everybody who sent a postcard in now, we think, will or did get something rather than sort of a line.
Last year they didn't send a postcard in. We mailed to all eligible the coupons as well as the information on how to use them.
Yep. This will probably end up being more of my ways and means conversation for appropriately. But so now if you send them to everybody and they don't use them at all, what happens to the funds?
We are required to spend all of our federal funds or return them at the end of the year. So we make sure that we maximize the federal program at the state level and spend all those funds. We overissue. We know historically that not everyone will use all or some of their coupons, so we overissue based on the history that we have of redemption. I can tell you, though, that Oregon has the highest senior citizen redemption rate in the nation, so it's a well-supported program and highly valued by seniors.
And then, I understand that, but there must be some that don't get used. So at the Oregon Opportunity Grant, we did the same thing. We knew the pickup rate wasn't high enough, so we'd overissue. But occasionally there was some money left over. Does it just revert to the general fund then at that point for an end fund balance? Or
well, it doesn't, because most of it's federal money. The biennial money we need, it's a year-long program that has a benefit for a short period of time from June to October. There's administrative costs that have to be paid for also. So.
Okay.
We spend it all.
They figured out how to do it. Okay. Well, thank you both.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And Representative Hunt has joined us.
There he is. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to request a Democratic caucus for the next 6 hours.
Object.
Why is you don't have the right to object?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I do that from my colleagues.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, Representative Dave Hunt from Clackamas County. This is actually very reminiscent of the 2003 session when Representative Smith and I were actually sitting in these chairs right over here as a member of this committee. I will say, and I think Representative Smith would agree, that the membership of the committee on both sides of the aisle is much more pleasant than it was at that particular point in time. So we are glad to see you here, but this was an issue that we actually worked on in the 2003 session in terms of trying to identify funding both for the senior farmers market vouchers as well as for the WIC farmers market vouchers. This is really one of those win-win programs, and unfortunately, I think as we've been dealing with in some of the issues this week even, we often see some win-lose kind of issues. This is just really one of those great win-wins, and that's why I wanted to come down today just to highlight that. The wins for low-income seniors in terms of critical life and health for them, but also the wins for growers and producers around the state to really give them incentives to serve these farmers markets. We've got a bunch of them in Clackamas County that are great venues for not just for seniors but for others as well. But this injection really does, I think, very similar to the biofuels package that Representative Dingfelder has worked so hard on. It really does have that great marriage of being good, in this case, for helping out and providing just a little bit of boost. It's not like it's going to solve all the problems of low-income seniors, but a critical targeted boost for them in terms of their food provision and their health, but also a boost for these farmers who are often struggling so close to the fiscal margins. So I'd encourage your favorable consideration of it and just wanted to come down and share in a very pleasant issue today.
Thank you very much. Any questions?
I do have a question, Mr. Chair. I'm just trying to understand the funding that has supported this in the past. I see a reference to a federal pilot project. It sounds like that's going to continue at the same level, so the $230,000 that's proposed here to be appropriated would be an add-on on top of that. I hear heads yeah. nodding.
Yes, answers. Sir. Mr. Chair, Representative McPherson, there is, unlike some this does not have a specific additional match that you access. The dollars will go just directly into those seniors being able to have greater access to more money to be able to spend at these farmers markets. It doesn't change the federal funding one way or the other.
Adds in $4. Okay, yeah. If I could follow, just yeah. I see that it was $40. Apparently, this was what the federal money would support was $40 in 2005. Down to and then dropped to $26 in 2006. Do we know any more about what the federal? I mean, this says would increase the benefit for every eligible senior to $30. Is that that's the combination of the federal money and this $230,000?
Mr. Chair, Representative McPherson, that's my understanding. In fact, my understanding is at one point it was actually $60 was actually the place where it reached the highest level, which was a great level. But as you said, it is down to $26 last summer, and this would at least begin that path back up. And obviously those figures are not adjusted for inflation. Those are just fixed dollars over time. But that will not, you know, unlike some programs where if you add in state money, they might backfill out federal money. That's not going to happen in this case. The federal dollars will not be negatively impacted by the infusion of a little more state dollars. But I've got lots of experts that are following me, sitting behind me, who will be far better versed than I in this.
And part of the issue, what you heard earlier, was that there was not a change in the amount the federal government gave. There was a big change in how we distributed.
Mm-hmm.
And so
right.
at the beginning, we didn't distribute to everybody. We just set an arbitrary number. $60 sounds good, and we gave it to them until we ran out. And now we're saying every senior and disabled person who qualifies gets some money. And that's a major change. In that. Mm-hmm. So it's the same amount of money just being distributed more evenly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yep. Okay, and seeing no other questions.
Keep up the good work, and I might commend this committee, Mr. Chair, for your, the fact that you all passed out that resolution and Congress immediately acted on county timber claims. Good work, people.
I mean, we're amazing what, how much influence we have.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, that supplemental has not passed.
Yes, so. I know. I do understand that.
That's right, it has not passed.
Next we have Patty. Well, there's actually three people if they want to come up.
together. Marcus and Shannon, do you want to all come on?
Sharon.
Oh, there's an R. Okay. Thanks.
It's my terrible handwriting.
Okay.
Sorry. Chair Roblin and committee, I'm Patty Whitney Wise, the director for the Oregon Hunger Relief Task Force. We were one of the first states to pilot the Senior Farmers Market program, and part of the reason we could get in early was because the people who needed to be at the table were already at the table of the task force, and within a month we could have our application in, and we got a significant amount of money that first year because there were only a few states. In fact, I think we actually gave out $100 a senior that very first year. As more states have been added on, this is part of why the amount went down originally, but we're at a fairly stable rate now. And as you heard, because the department decided to send it out to all eligible seniors last year, not only did that save them administrative money, but it made a lot of seniors happy because unless they got their postcard in just in time, and you can imagine in some of the rural areas, it was hard, took more time to get in, so they were at a disadvantage for getting those coupons. So it's a much fairer distribution at this point in time. We realize that this money, this $230,000, is not in the budget at this point, but we would really request that you seriously consider this as a small step forward for senior citizens and for our farmers as well. This is, as Representative Hunt said, a very, very much a win-win program, and as we face a larger increase in obesity in our country, which affects seniors as well as young people, this is one way not only to help them get that fresh produce, but to introduce them to their local farmers market or their roadside stand where they can become a regular customer. And in my community of Milwaukee, those roadside stands are much less expensive than the regular grocery store, so it also helps them stretch their other food dollars as well. So that makes it a win-win-win.
Thank you. We'll let everybody speak and then we'll have some questions.
Representative Roblin, members of the committee. I'm Sharon Thornberry. I'm the Community Food Programs Advocate for Oregon Food Bank. I didn't bring written testimony today because there's not a lot I could put in that testimony that you're not going to see in the Hunger Relief Task Force fact sheet. But I do want to speak, and usually the voice that I bring here is from the grassroots. It's what I hear out there in the community and as I travel around the rural communities of Oregon. This is a very important program to seniors in our state. They really like to have the opportunity to actually buy from farmers and buy from their neighbors. And for them, they really do know how to take advantage of this. They have cooked fresh fruits and vegetables in their life. They know what to do. Nothing thrills them more than be able to go out and buy a flat of berries and make some freezer jam. That really makes it's such a treat. And I think that not only are these a treat, not only do these benefit seniors in terms of nutrition for their bodies, but it's nutrition for their souls. They can feel like they're doing something good for their community. They're making good purchases. I have already started getting my calls this year about when are the coupons coming? Are we going to be able to use them? I didn't get the coupons last year. How do I get the coupons? Those calls start very early in the year. The food bank works actively to do outreach on this program to make sure people know that they're getting their coupons and to remind them to actually spend those coupons. And I also know from working with the farmers markets folks, Representative Clem was at the Farm Direct Marketing Conference, the farmers look forward to this and to know that they're going to be able to serve those seniors in their community. So it has benefits far beyond the economic piece and far beyond the nutrition piece. It's actually a program that builds community.
Hi, Marcus Samantle, retired farmer, Chair Roblin, committee members. I came today to be here for the 2288 discussion, and Patty said, hey, take a look at this, and I thought I'd say a couple things. First, anything that benefits farmers, I'm all for, and this growing niche in agriculture of direct marketing is an important and growing niche, and I think this definitely is a help to farmers who, especially in areas, I'm from Portland, metropolitan areas are a lot of smaller parcels, and they can get used by farmers that bring things to farmers markets and other direct marketing. And plus, I'm a senior. I don't know if I...
Conflict of interest.
And the other thing anytime we can get some dollars back from Washington, D.C., I'm for that. And so that looks good to me here. So thank you very much. It sounds like a very good program.
Any questions for this panel?
I have no questions, Mr. Chair, but I did want to comment on Marcus Simantle volunteering himself as a senior, having climbed Mount Hood with him a few years ago. I tell you, he doesn't climb like a senior.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, yes. Just while they're here, since they didn't testify on the other bill, I want to thank Patty and Sharon and Marcus. They were in the work group, worked really hard, and the other folks who came up as well, certainly, but they didn't weigh in. And, you know, this is what happens when you get rid of the middleman on those farm stands. You can lower the price a little bit, so it's always a nice thing to get rid of the middleman.
I don't know the page for that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else here who we have no one else signed up to speak to House Bill 2634? And we're going to close our hearing on 2634, and we're going to open a work session on House Bill 2634.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I'll move House Bill 2634 with a due pass recommendation and a subsequent referral to the Joint Ways and Means.
Representative Smith has moved House Bill 2634 to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, we'll take a roll call vote.
Representative Dean Crowder?
Aye.
Representative McPherson?
Aye.
Representative Mallard? Excuse me. Representative Smith?
Aye.
Representative Boquist?
Yes.
Representative Clark?
Aye.
Chair Roblin?
Aye. Having received, is this one that we should put on consent?
Well, Ways and Means. I'll try sending it straight to the floor, I guess.
We could do that. That'd be so much nicer. We've had a lot of those bills already, haven't we, to the floor?
Yeah.
Oh, it's such a nice bill. So, having passed, we will send that off on its way. Next, we will open a work session on House Bill 2069. I believe there's some amendments. We'll have you explain.
There are, Mr. Chair. You should have in front of you the 2069-1, I believe, amendments. I've lost mine.
Yeah,
there we go. This is the bill that authorizes, the original bill authorized a surcharge on the sale price of seed sold from the State Forest Tree Seed Bank. What the proposed 2069-1 amendment would do is add the word research on page 2, line 2 of the bill, to the list of the uses of the tree seed bank. The amendment also deletes the new language that you see on page 2 of the original bill, lines 7 through 9, that would have authorized a surcharge on the sale price of tree seed to fund research and development. So essentially what the amendment does is remove the surcharge language and instead allow the research to be part of the bank like the other uses currently are. And there are folks from the department here.
Let's bring them up and an explanation. I think this is the concerns that were addressed by the people, I think.
Oh, that's right.
Have
they
been
going to go talk. And,
right.
Yeah, gotcha.
and one of the surcharges.
Let's
make a motion. Yes.
Because we're in a work session.
Yeah. We're in a work session. Let's make the motion first.
Okay, I move the dash. Mr. Chair, I move the dash. One amendment to House Bill 2069.
Okay. Representative Smith has moved the dash. Amendments to House Bill 2069. Discussion.
You want to hear from your
team? Now we'll have a discussion, yes. So, explain to us what has happened since the last time we met.
Chair Roblin, members of the committee, my name is Lanny Quackenbush. I'm the Operations Manager, Private Forest Program, Department of Forestry. What we really realized, and I thank Representative McPherson for kind of pointing this out to us, is when we started into this, what we were wanting to do was to make it very clear that research and development was part of the actual cost of operating the seed bank. And I think we kind of got off track a little bit by calling it a surcharge. So by dropping the surcharge language and clearly adding research and development and production, it makes it very clear that that's one of the actual costs of acquiring, producing, and making this seed available And then the seed, of course, is sold to private nurseries to grow the seedlings for private landowners.
Questions? Of the, yes.
I just have a note from last time. I don't recall whether we answered. It says, does this have perpetual spending authority then, or do you have to come back yearly and get this? And if we fix it the right way so you don't have to come back every year or every 2 years?
Representative Boquist, Chair Roblin, I hope this is the right term, a revolving fund that we take money in and spend money out. Okay. So it does not have to come back.
I have a question maybe best put to staff, and it's that the bill language is, I think, we're taking care of this issue. The original printed version of the bill and the original staff measure summary still uses the language surcharge, which no longer being in the bill, I think, now. Will the revisions be made as a result of our adopting these amendments when it's reprinted in an A engrossed version?
Yes.
Okay. Very good.
Any other questions? Okay. Thank you very much. So we have a motion on the table. Any other discussion? So this is a motion on the amendments, and we'll go with the roll call vote.
Representative McPherson?
Aye.
Representative Bauer? Representative Smith?
Aye.
Representative Oakland?
Aye.
Representative Clem?
Aye.
It is now amended, having received the referral.
Consented
referral.
It has no cost anymore. We can
consent calendar.
This could be a consent calendar.
I make a motion to place
this
on the consent
calendar. Wait, first we got to move the bill. That was just the amendment.
I'll move House Bill 2069. As amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and the subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means be rescinded.
Representative Smith has made a motion to move House Bill 2069 to the floor with a due pass as amended recommendation and the subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means be rescinded, and I have already sent that letter and that's all been taken care of. So. Any other questions? Seeing none, we'll have a vote.
Representative Maurer, excuse. Representative
Smith?
Aye.
Representative Boquist?
Aye.
Representative Clem?
Aye.
Representative
Dinkfelder?
Aye.
Representative McPherson?
Aye.
Chair Roblin?
Aye.
Okay, now I will make a motion to place this on the consent calendar if I was paying attention the first time enough.
Is there
objections?
Any objections? Yeah. Seeing none, so ordered. And the bill has passed and will be sent to the consent agenda. So now we'll close that work session on 2069 and we'll open a work session on 2470.
I don't
thinking about that one.
We'll
have plenty
of time. We'll
have
like a watch.
That's okay.
So we'll hear a short description.
Mr. Chair, committee members, House Bill 2470 is the Buffalo Bill.
Buffalo Bill.
There is a dash two amendment in front of you, and there should be an and engrossed version of the amendment as well. What the dash two amendment does is delete the new definitions of cattle in section one of the bill and the new definition of bison in section two. If you'll recall, at the hearing, there was some discussion about the possible need for a blood test with the way the bill was originally written in order to determine whether it was a buffalo or not, that would be costly and unnecessary and that a visual test is adequate.
So if it looks like a buffalo,
it looks like a buffalo.
Exactly.
It looks
like a buffalo. They say you'll know the difference.
They do.
And everybody has agreed that that was agreed to that.
Okay.
So, any questions?
Yes. What was the name of that thing that's half and half?
Beefalo.
Thank you. Beefalo.
Oh, you have to have a blood test to determine.
Right.
You
don't want to. Yeah. I don't want to get into that.
So, any other questions about this? I will entertain a motion. Do you want to do this one?
Sure.
Dash two.
I move the dash two amendments to House Bill 2470.
Representative Clem has moved the dash two amendments to 2470. Any discussion? Seeing none, we'll take a roll call on the amendments.
Representative Smith?
Aye.
Representative Boakley?
No.
Representative Clem?
Aye.
Representative Hinkle?
Aye.
Representative McPherson?
Aye.
Representative Maurer excused. Chair Roblin?
Aye. Dash 2s have been accepted, so now we move on to the regular motion. Mr. Representative Klein, would you like to make the other next motion?
I move House Bill 2470 as amended. Do I say with the due pass recommendation? Well, yeah, with the due pass recommendation to the House of Floor.
Look at the script, too.
Oh, I'm sorry. I move House Bill 2474 with the due pass as amended recommendation.
Representative Clem has moved House Bill 2470 as amended to the House floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any other discussion? Seeing none, we'll take a roll call vote.
Representative Boakley?
No.
Representative Clem?
Aye.
Representative Hinkle?
Aye.
Representative McPherson?
Aye.
Representative Maurer excused. Representative Smith?
No.
Chair Roblin?
Aye. Having passed, we will send it on. I don't think we need a motion on that one.
And Mr. Chair, it does appear to me that have you asked the sponsor of this bill to carry this?
Representative Butler may want to carry it.
I will ask Representative Butler. Otherwise, I was thinking Dingfelder would probably want to take this.
I would prefer if Butler carry it.
I will talk to Representative Butler about doing that. Oh. And if he doesn't, Mr. Representative Glenn, would you like to do this bill?
Can I tell a story about that one that was laying out in front of us?
Tell
a story.
Okay.
10 minutes.
Well, I'll talk to Butler first. I will talk to Butler first.
Yeah, if he doesn't want to, I'll do it.
Okay. So we will close the public work session on House Bill 2470, and we will. Is there any further business? Seeing none, we'll close the committee on health, agriculture, and natural resources.